So start the meeting. Can we have a roll call?
Yes. Rodriguez?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
Chacon?
Yes. Sorry. He was talking to me.
Crawford?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman is absent, and LaChance is absent.
Okay. And let's see. Visitors? Let's see. We have Jeanette, and we have Judy, some of them, friends, and we have Daniel, and Mr. Chacon.
Caesar. Like Caesar.
Okay, and let's see. Are there any amendments to the agenda?
Yes, I'd like to add under new business. I've been talking with our consultant about improving the wireless in the library. So we're going to use some. We're going to apply for some E-rate money, and you have a printout here of the device I'd like to have him. Put on the E-rate application too, because they're inexpensive and they're good. So we'll talk about that in our new business.
Okay, and I guess let's look at the minutes from last month. So we had last month's meeting, we also had a physical facilities meeting as well.
I remember that.
To accept the minutes for the Monday Board of Trustees meeting on October 8th and for the minutes from the public, Physical Facilities Committee meeting on Monday, October 22nd.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Rodriguez?
Yes.
Great. Do we have any correspondence? Any public comment? Any staff comment? Okay. What is the report of the treasurer?
Pretty boring month. I mean, if you look at our at the bills, like there's nothing too outstanding. Mm-hmm. Another bill from Dakin. You know, another month, another bill. Mm-hmm. But we're at 50% of our fiscal year, and if you look at the budget report, we're pretty much on track for most things, and the things that we're over on, we knew we would be over on. So, boring is good.
I see we have our new sound projection system in over here. Thank you to for the friends to do for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a bill for Hicks Brothers in the checks to be signed, and that's the friends are reimbursing for that. So.
Do we have a motion to pay our bills?
I'll make a motion that we pay our bills, accounts payable in the amount of $28,832.63. Two payroll periods totaling $37,836.32 for total disbursements of $66,668.95.
Second. Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Walker?
Yes.
Okay. Give a report from the director.
Yes. I attended the Friends meeting this morning to formally thank them for the suggestion system and for all that they do for us. There's a couple things I wanted to highlight out of my report. Tomorrow night we will be at City Council recognizing Dixie for 15 years of service to the board for 15 years of service as being a full-time employee because she's been here for 19 years. So I will be presenting her with a plaque and saying a few words. So if you're available between 7 and 7:15 to show support for her, I'd appreciate it. Also, tomorrow we will have a cake and coffee at 10:30 here for the staff to recognize Dixie. And then the managers will be taking her to lunch tomorrow. The Art Guild has raised $4,000 of the $8,500 that they need for the mural. They are selling for $10, you can get either a paintbrush or a splash. And your name is filled in and is put up where the mural is going to be. So that's a fundraiser that Cheryl's doing. She's collecting the money. She's giving out a receipt that says, thank you for your $10 donation. So that is being done through the Guild because the library can't do it. So I think it's tremendous that we're halfway there already. Mm-hmm. And they're also doing the silent auction, which is the second month of raising money. People bidding on the artwork was donated. Okay. I participated in the Bristol Bay School Spooky Read Night. I was in charge of the Lucky Duck game. The hardest part of that was making sure the kids didn't walk off with their ducks. And Katrina Cole attended and read stories. There was a gentleman that was an author, a local author, and he was reading his book before Katrina read her stories. He donated a copy of the book to the library and is also coming in January to do a reading here and to sell his book. Theron came by that night and met the author and saw, I mean, it was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids. I would say over 200 kids. And a couple of them even showed up a second time to try to get another prize. I said, weren't you here early? So they couldn't pull that one on me. It was fun to be there and see the school and all the different parents and the children. And to see what a tremendous job they do with their book fair. That's when Aaron came by to see how they do their book fair. And then it was a literacy night of all kinds of activities and food that was donated. And Jeanette was not available, so she asked if I would do it. And I
said I would not read stories, but I would do Lucky Duck. So I applied for, it was a 1 week turnaround for a grant through ALA and sponsored by Google. It's $500 to do programs first week in December on coding. And I didn't know Wednesday whether we got it or not. They give preference to ALA members, which I'm a member. The only drawback is that we did a joint program with 4-H that used their the Google program. So that's the only thing I can think of that would not get us the award. So we'll see. I mean, it's $500 to support the week's activities. We're continuing to rent the meeting room out for depositions at $75 a pop. We had our first staff Halloween costume contest with 15 out of 22 staff members coming in costume. And in your packet is the printout of the participants. Cheryl won first prize, which was a $20 gift card to Panera. She was the book fairy. The second prize went to Jetta. Jetta was a cowardly lion. And third prize went to Shelley. It was $15 for the second prize and $10 for the third prize. And it was fun. We had a good time. The staff day on October 5th was very productive. It was basic first aid training. Staff really, really want the advanced training, so we will have advanced training on March 15th. And the second part of the training was active shooter training with the police. That was just pretty much an overview. We would like some more advanced training in that area. I did investigate getting panic buttons put in. They told me originally $240 for the three buttons, and then when I got the proposal, it jumped to $1,800. So I said, how can it jump that much? And he said, we're a government building, and because we're a government building, we have to pay prevailing wage. And I discussed it with the city administrator, Barr, and he says that's true. But they're also looking into putting panic buttons over with the city. And so we may be able to do something jointly with them. So I'm going to wait until we continue to see what they're going to do. I did meet with Carol LeChance about 2 weeks ago when she was still in nursing at Asbury Rehab Center. And from what I understand, Russ has spoken with her, and she will be at the December board meeting.
That's what she's aiming for. She is at home.
Great to have her back.
Yeah.
We're having the Chicago area Lego group coming here for a program on Saturday. So we're publicizing that, and Park District is putting it on their digital sign for us.
Yes.
From Wednesday on. Okay, I'm continuing to work the reference desk, doing the Sunday rotation, and for lunch breaks. Hi.
Hello.
And under library operations, I'm going to put that I'm going to be out for 3 days, November 28th. And then December 12th for cataract surgery, so that I can see how to drive at night. So I'll be using some of my 6 times for that. So I did do that around the board meetings. So nothing gets me off. And that's everything that I have.
So I believe the only city council, it's right down here, standing committees, I think the only one was personnel, or not personnel, but physical facilities.
Yeah.
You want to give an overview? Or?
Well, it's pretty much outlined in the minutes. We met with Daniel, just ask Lisa. I'm too good with names. Discussing his Eagle project. And then we kind of discussed, you know, what the purpose of this committee is going to be to review the facility's equipment, contracts. Is it better to replace or continue repairing specific items that we spend a lot of money on? The air handler and whatnot would be way too expensive to replace, so we got to keep fixing it. That's pretty much. We would like to get maybe a couple more people on that committee. If anybody has some free time, or our president wants to appoint some more people. That's about all.
I'll go from up here first.
Sure.
Go, Lisa. Go, Lisa. I'm going to leave her calling her Lisa. I have that memory, too. Uh-huh.
Sorry.
I keep calling her Charlize.
So, perfect. Okay, so let's move on to unfinished business.
So, we've done the first one, Liz?
Yes.
Did you get one?
One what?
Yeah, you can one. This you can be. Well, I think there's an actual one. It's the City Council. Alright, so there's a few additions and made to it. The overall cost appears to have gone down, however, there's an error. I printed the wrong sheet, I'm sorry. However, as in this version of the document, the polyurethane, which we discussed at the... Thank you. Which we discussed at the Physical Facilities Committee meeting, is not included on there. However, I do know how much it costs, and to use it to finish all of the things that we will be using to do the project, it will be $300. It's not especially cheap.
No.
However, it will definitely help make sure that the project lasts longer in inclement weather.
Is that the polyurethane or the marine urethane?
It is not the marine urethane, it's the polyurethane.
Okay.
The marine urethane is a lot more expensive.
Okay.
I believe it is about 3 to 4 times more expensive. So, not within the realm. Yes, 300 to the entire
supplies, or?
It would be under the first materials.
Materials.
Okay. I apologize, it is not listed. And as for the, I know you had concerns about liabilities and injuries. The Boy Scouts can provide a certificate of insurance. However, that can only be once the proposal has been approved. And as far as my council and committee has understood, there is no waiver that the Scouts sign. However, my coordinator is looking into it, and he has contacted people in the district and is asking about. Is there any questions?
One question.
Yes.
I think that we originally, the library said that you were asking for $250 for the mulch.
Yes.
And then I see it's mulch and topsoil, so it's for a total of $300 versus the $250.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, $250 would be great. Any amount the library could supply would be wonderful.
Okay.
Well, I don't know
to
how.
$250. Hmm? We're committed to the $250.
All right. Any amount helps a lot. Thank you. Oh, and I should also mention, for those who don't know, the Friends of the Library motioned and got approved that they are willing to donate $1,000 to the project, which is covering most of the expenses of the project. Thank you. Is there any other questions, comments, concerns?
So, I remember the last time we talked about the hanging of the, they all got discussed in the facilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
then we have a motion to approve the project. So I make a motion that we approve the project.
I'll second.
Great. Roll call.
Crawford?
Yes.
Danis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
And Chacon?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So, to complete the deal, I'm going to need this thing.
To seal a deal? To make it
in the bottom left.
I feel like we just had this mini golf thing. The year goes too fast.
Bottom one.
Like, the months have just grown so quickly. It's Thanksgiving already. It's going to be January.
I protest.
We need the time to slow down.
Yeah, how off the record, though, do you think it will be closer to 250 for the topsoil?
I can't say. Only a rough estimate.
Okay.
It'll depend on how they disturb the soil and stuff.
When is your 18th birthday?
August 11th,
2019. Oh, okay. All right.
I think it will end up being closer to the 250 because Caesar, who is our spatial expert, he accounted for taking all of the bushes out and not leaving any in when he came up with the measure.
Okay, so for my other book.
And I have various memberships in the science fiction groups. My spatial.
Well. Thank you so much. Congratulations. And so from here, I will need to get approval from my troop, and then I will go to the district council, and then I will see you guys once again. So you guys will be the only one who has to approve the plan, which is in much greater detail about all this proposal. This was just a proposal. The plan will have a lot more detail, so you guys will be the only group that has to approve that. So
when can we expect that?
Hopefully by the beginning of next month. All those to find. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Okay.
Good
job. Okay. So, placing library copies.
These two different, or three different.
Well, we have our copiers. I'm going to turn this over to Jason in a moment, but our copiers, we own our copiers. We have three. We have one in children's, one in reference, and one for administration. They're 10 and 11 years old. They're falling apart. The parts cannot be ordered to replace machines. What the city did in RFP, and awarded their contract to Impact. We're currently with Costco. The city's very pleased with the machines that they're using there. And I turned over a lot of this to Jason, but Jason's aware of the company, the Impact company. So I'd like for Jason to address.
Sure. So, Impact, I'm in IT for my normal job, and I have contracts with Impact for 1, 2, 4 communities in the Chicago area. Pretty high volume contracts. They're really responsive as far as service. They come out same day usually if there's an issue. They stock all the parts. Everything is local, so they're a Chicago-based company. They warehouse all their own supplies, extremely responsive as far as getting parts when things do go down. They perform all preventative maintenance on the machines. That means when they come out, not only are they going to fix what's wrong with it, but if it's due for rollers to be changed or different types of maintenance, they do really well on that. Just in looking at this, the two contracts, there's a couple of really important things to pay attention to when you're doing copier leases. One is the overall equipment they're giving you. So you can see right here on the contract quote, so They're quoting a 25 ppm and a 30 ppm color copier, a Metonica quote. So that stands for page per minute, so that's actually the copy speed. So while that's the copy speed, that's generally how you also rate the volume of the copier. So copiers with lower speeds are rated for lower duty, so they generally aren't as well built or as long lasting as something a little faster. So you can see on the impact quote, they're actually quoting 240 page per minute copiers made by Kyocera. So those are actually going to be faster copiers than what's on the Konica Norbert quote. The other thing to keep in mind, and you can see Elisa added an on here, so the lease is only half of what you have to pay for. So any time you have copiers, you also have to pay a maintenance agreement. And if you look at the Konica, that's where she wrote down at the bottom, black and white is 0.5 cents per page, and color is 4 cents per page on the Konica. And then on the Impact quote, it's the same black and white cost, and actually, because it's a higher volume machine, that's probably how they're able to get down to the 3.2 cents per page color. So there is some savings on the color printing as well versus the Konica. So
on the Impact one also, for the public copiers, we don't need the staple and fax feature, which is another $25 a month.
Right.
We would need that for the administrative copier, but not for the public.
Yeah. So I mean there's a staple finish on there that can even be disabled, because this price here they're giving us. Okay, so it's adding the staple and fix. But if you look at the top, it does have an internal staple finisher. So either way, if you don't add the staple fix, it might still have a stapler internally on it. So.
Okay. And we're looking at leasing these machines versus purchasing.
Yeah.
And Jason was saying that we should probably look at a 5-year.
4 or 5 year. I feel comfortable with these machines that, you know, you should be able to easily get 4 or 5 years out of these. The price drops quite a bit from the 3-year to the 4-year, so it drops about $50 right off the bat per month. So it's really up to us whether or not we do the 4 or 5 year. Since we got 10 years off the last one, I mean, I don't really think there's a big risk pushing it to the 5 years.
And we're only looking at 2 machines,
right,
one for administration and one upstairs, instead of having one in children's upstairs and administration. So we're looking at one upstairs and one in administration.
Will we keep the one that's there downstairs and children's?
No.
So the nice thing is, because they're under a maintenance agreement, that means if anything fails on them within that 5 years, because we're paying that 0.5 cents a page black and white and 3.2 cents color, whatever happens on it, they repair it, they fix it. So usually how it works, and I've had this with other companies, not with Impact, if you have a machine that they just can't keep running that's still within lease, because it's costing them more to keep repairing it, they're just going to replace it at any point. So that's why the 5-year lease really isn't a big issue, because if we were to have a machine that, you know, just will not stay working consistently, they're going to replace it anyway on their side.
Do you know if it has scanned emails?
Yep, they all can. They all can, so that'll just depend on how we set it up. So I would think,
because we do have that scanned email machine up there.
Yeah, they all can. We would just want to work with them to make sure it's done right, so that we're not retaining anybody's information or that is kept confidential. So
we'll have to look and see whether it's better to have that one machine in children's, or Jeanette's saying that the elderly people don't want to go upstairs.
I was going to say, there's a lot of, forget elderly, carrying a child, a whole bunch of stuff. Can I just get in and use the copier and get out? I was going to wait for y'all to finish to ask the whole need for it to be upstairs when most of the patrons are going to come in on this main floor.
We'll look to see more. I mean, if you can find a place that's maybe visible, that's half-conceived. But I don't think we need Or do we need three machines?
No, I mean, we have the one. We have the one upstairs. Wait. Yeah. Patients come in, they usually come to the door. They might just go to the machine and use the one and downstairs.
They would rather use the one downstairs.
And then you guys use the ones that's upstairs.
The only time that we have recently directed people upstairs is because ours is no longer functioning. Right. You cannot utilize the screen anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can hit it as hard as you can, but it's not going to do anything. So,
but if you're upstairs doing research or doing something, then that means you can come downstairs to make a copy.
I don't know that happens a whole lot, though.
Versus kids or students or parents printing out or making copies. I'm going to say that the use is going to be more on the first level than on the second level.
I would say the public one downstairs.
And the one for you guys.
Oh, that's fine.
And they can probably even set it up once it's networked so that if you guys needed to print to the public one, you still would be able to.
Great.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if we have data over there, but it could be figured out. So
we would have to give Konica 30 days notice to withdraw from the maintenance contract. And Impact said they would be willing to start it up in January and bring the new machines in.
So we pay, like, for the 48 months, $198.50 a machine plus 5 cents or a point. I mean, it's not 5 cents. It's less than 5 cents. Or 4 cents for every page that gets printed? I don't understand.
No, so the lease is $160 for the two machines.
Where? For Impact?
For Impact, yeah. Because if you see they have a quantity of two next to Kyocera Task Alpha 4052 CI. So the lease, if you go 60 months, it's $185 a month for the two machines. And then whatever usage it is, so however many black pages and color pages, it's that usage times the rates down there added on to that $185. So you have your service fee and your lease cost every month. And usually Impact, I believe, bills the service quarterly. I think they can do either monthly or quarterly.
And we'll still be charging our patrons the 20 cents per copy.
Right. So how are you collecting that?
It's a coin.
And they understand that these need to be coin up as well? Did we?
Not yet.
Okay.
That may change the...
Yeah.
That may change.
So I would make sure they understand that these...
You still use coins versus cards that you can reload? Because that's probably, well, like all of our machines now use key fobs, and they can use cards, fobs, or round fobs, and then you can have patrons reload their card and put money and keep money on it versus having to have change on them.
Is that a cost? How do you do that, though?
Is that something you can do both ways? Can you do change and a card?
I just know that a lot of, like, I feel like even when I left Plainfield years ago, that it went to a card, and you just put money on your card. They're pretty cheap. They're like, they look like plastic.
A reservation.
Yeah, most of them are moving away from the coin
ops. And what's nice about those is you can send it, and then it doesn't print out till you get over there with your card. You know, like, you can send it to the printer just the same as a staff member could, and then a staff member could use their card to print, but you wouldn't pay for your prints, whereas the patrons would have to load their card.
Right. I understand what you're saying. The people that typically use that machine are older patrons, and I don't know how that would go over. Because they want to come in, dump their change, and get out.
I think over time they'd actually like it not having to look for change when they're going to make a copy. They'd have a library card that would just be preloaded. They would just go to you with their dollar or two and say, could you put this on my printer card or my copy card? And they would use a copy card.
So the library card is not their copy card?
No, it was just you got a specific one that had a chip in it that you could scan it on the machine. Because most of these newer machines, they just use a scan thing that could just know their account or take
them. So would they be keeping those cards? Or is that card
they keep them, yeah. And when they run out, it would tell them that they have, like, it even tells you how much money you have left on your card. It's kind of like the game system when you go to those places with video games and it tells you you only have 50 cents left. And
it's the same company, TBS, that does the print cards, the print reservation.
Something like that. When you ask them, it may be a lot cheaper to do that kind of system versus the coin one, because the coin one's older, but if it's exactly the same cost and we feel like our patrons are used to the coin one, I mean, we have to decide which one of those. Let's ask them how much it costs first.
So we'll need to know that, I guess, for the next meeting.
Bless you.
Can I take the same?
Dale. Luckily, computer going.
But it's 30 days whenever. It's not like it's, so we can give that 30 days notice whenever we know we're ready to go. So,
yeah.
I mean, if we know we're going, we do that. We just give Conoco.
You're learning early. Just leave in multiple places. You're screwed. Don't want us to tell you. So you actually got to learn it.
Yes, we may, if we haven't approved something like this because the cost went up, Conoco would come in and pull their machines, and we wouldn't have anything.
They're not going to pull it, though. We own them.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
And we can give... There's no ongoing contract on the maintenance. It's just a 30-day out at any point.
Okay.
So if we take a month longer to make this decision, we give the 30-day out a month later. So
okay.
It's really no...
Yeah, we need to know if these numbers are going to change.
We're going to table it for next month, and we'll come back with them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so on to new business. Approving the 2019 board meeting dates, and
there's only one thing that changed because next year we're closed on Veterans Day, and so the meeting.
Oh, it's the second one of the month.
To November 18th, if that's okay with the board.
Were we closing on Veterans Day this year?
No,
that's today. Well, the actual day was yesterday. That's just observed today. Oh, right, because we normally are open on Sunday, and we didn't yesterday.
We were closed yesterday.
So rather than moving it up a week because of our financials,
we moved it to the end. Hey, we brought this one off on Monday.
And which day? Martin Luther King Day?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not all public libraries, though. I know, like, Plainfield closes, but it's not a day off for the employees. It's like, since so many people are off, they close it and use it for staff in-service day. So I don't know if some places use it as staff in, but it's usually closed to the public. All of our schools are. And Labor Day, too.
There was a discussion today on the director's listserv about which lot of some libraries are closing now for the day after Thanksgiving. There's mixed feelings on that because patrons, use libraries on that part.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking about Martin Luther King Day and President's Day, too. Like, library might be super busy that day. No. We have a big volunteer event that happens on that day because the kids are off.
It's usually the time that things like this are open because then you can have access to the kids and people would love to bring the program.
Right.
It would be a great opportunity for programs.
Yeah, I think it's still a pretty healthy holiday list, if you remove those.
Right.
Well, we're also going with, there's states that were open and cities closed. There are a number of days that cities close in the world
for holidays. Mm-hmm. Which holidays do you remember?
The day after Thanksgiving, they're closed.
Columbus Day.
So the first one is the dates for the board meeting.
I'll make a motion we approve the board meeting dates.
I'll second.
Are we still discussing the other?
The board meeting dates or the library closed dates?
The library closed dates.
No, just the
board.
You
said the board meeting dates.
Yeah, board meeting dates.
Okay. So, set a roll call for that, I guess.
Yeah.
Birthday.
Okay, Danis?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
All right, so now back to holidays.
I don't know. Personally, I prefer we close with Veterans Day than Martin Luther King Day or President's Day. I feel like one of those we should be open for. Use that as an opportunity to program for our community.
I think that we should be open on Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Maybe even plan a Martin Luther King Day program.
Exactly.
All green, hell yes.
So everybody agree that...
Question whether we want to be in sync with the city, too.
We're already not in sync with the city, all right?
Well, they're closed. They have to Thanksgiving.
Today. We were closed yesterday.
There was a lot of government, like you didn't get mail today.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of government buildings that take the day after if it's on a weekend, day after Veterans Day.
This wasn't my case.
I'm coming from like a customer focused perspective about it. Not necessarily, but we're not in line with the city already.
Yeah.
So, that's not something that I think that we pursued in the past. Right.
So, one other question. If it's a holiday, holiday personnel, they're here, do they get holiday pay?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's part-time workers. You only have 5 full-time staff.
Mm-hmm.
But you're passing, then this is going to be a change in your policy manual, because in your policy manual have holidays listed that staff get, full-time staff get.
But have we ever done these 2 holidays before?
Yes.
You've always been closed on those days?
Yes.
We gave a lot of days. We gave Mother's Day. The school district is not closed today.
Mother's Day.
They changed
Sunday.
The day.
Mm-hmm.
Mother's Day Sunday.
But I mean, like, school district doesn't close on every holiday. I don't think they ever close on Veterans Day.
The school district likes to stay open on Veterans Day.
It stays open on Veterans Day in order to do on, like, to bring in veterans,
exactly.
To
yep.
recognize our veterans. You know, we do more programming. I feel like we have that opportunity with, since more government entities are closed on Veterans Day, we have an opportunity to be on for, you know, something that's more culturally related,
mm-hmm.
rather than a respect to our servicemen like Veterans Day. I don't know. I think you'd have less of a connection with President's Day and more of a connection with Martin Luther King Day. I went to a school that they had speeches, they had guest speakers on that day. It was an opportunity for people to, you know, like it was a great programming day.
Well, the other thing is Columbus Day, we are open and the kids are off school.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an influx of kids at that opportunity. And the kids are in school today. And we were open. So, you know, that's
Is Yorkville off?
Yorkville was open. My mom said about 10 billion times, what's wrong with this school district? Everybody should be closed. Okay, retired lady. I'm going to work now. Bye.
For Martin Luther King Day, are they off?
For Martin Luther King, they do have off. They give the weekend for Martin Luther King. They give the weekend for President's Day. So I'm saying there'd be a lot more kids would come into programming if we were open, because the kids are out. The way they come in for Columbus Day.
Depending on how the school system sets it up, I can tell you that any 4-day weekend that the school has, we don't see people. Because
so you say you don't see people for Columbus Day weekend?
For Columbus Day weekend, it's hit and miss. But the other ones where they've extended that to the 4- or 5-day weekends...
It would only be 3 days. We just get the Monday.
Okay. But what I'm saying is...
I know what you mean. We have 4- and 5-day weekends.
Yes.
We typically do that for Columbus Day weekend.
Okay.
Is like our only one, and then Thanksgiving weekend is our other one.
But if we were doing something that was a big event, like you said something about doing an event.
Doing something for Martin Luther King Day.
But we did it after the
don't get me started. I think we should be in school on Columbus Day.
Event.
Yeah.
But if it's a 3-day weekend, families go on trips and things, they're not coming in.
That's
for a 3-day weekend.
Oh, I thought that you said that Columbus Day was crazy, but it did bring people in.
Because
we didn't schedule anything over Columbus Day weekend either. Okay. But on that, we could get people in if we generated a bunch of excitement for some Martin Luther King program.
No, I didn't say that.
If it's outlined as a holiday,
I have no idea.
If it's outlined as a holiday in the policy, then it has to be off.
Oh,
I'm going to say, don't we change the day of the holidays or the days off every year when we update it?
We name the holiday. We don't name the date in the policy book. We name the holiday, not the date. So we're off on Martin Luther King Day. We're off on whatever day. We just don't identify what the date is in the policy book.
It's Columbus Day is when I have to come in.
We
had five kids come in for two sets of programs for that program.
Have we ever done any programming for the particular holiday that you're talking about, though?
We haven't been open, and we always provide opportunities. Like right now, we have the kids can come in and make poppy flowers for Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. So we try to do passive programming for those families that come in regards to all of these holidays. So whether we're here or not, there is that opportunity for those kids. And between the book displays, passive programming, any take-home art projects, whatever it is that we have.
That part I do understand. I think that's good. But I would like to see more events for different things that we do.
Well, we're going to need to add staff because right now we're on a skeleton crew.
For the next year?
We're on a skeleton crew. Because Jessica is cut back because she's working full time. And she's only going to be working, how many hours? 8?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be picking up Lego Club and Ice Cream Book Club and Lego Duplo and those programs that she was nice enough to pick up for me. I'm taking those back.
So we're going to need to add staff because we're just operating on bare bones right now with children's. We're also, for the holidays, we make sure that we have a Christmas tree, that we have something for Kwanzaa and for Hanukkah.
Oh, I know, that part, I just was thinking about what she said as far as events and him. That part, I know all the stuff that we do. If we've been close, then we shouldn't change it.
Well, but not until we can, if it gets staff, more staff here, which is going to impact the budget, too.
Right.
You said that we couldn't change it, but then why are we approving this?
The dates.
It would just have to be a policy change as well, if we changed it, assuming.
And if there is no staff and we cannot do anything exciting or buy into any programming for that day, really push anything with energy and enthusiasm, then we should not. But we should get the staff so that we can.
That'd be great.
We need to add staff and children. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to do is hire someone that can be a floater that can work with all departments. Or at least CERC and reference so that people in those departments, if they needed to help out children, that they could. But the trend is to try to do some cross training. Right now, we do not have the staff.
When did this happen? When did this change?
Jessica, 2 weeks ago. And we have put in place programming that we were excited about, that 4-H. It's their science program that they come and they utilize our space, and it is a blessing to us that they're willing to come in and do their National Science Day here with us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And we have plastered it wherever we can.
Is it during the day?
It is. Yes, it's during the days off. It's during Columbus Day. So that weekend, and then you guys were off October 26th.
Well, Columbus Day weekend is a 5-day weekend. That's a huge vacation weekend. I wouldn't have ever put it on a 5-day weekend because I know that that's a huge vacation weekend. It's a college trip weekend. It's homecoming weekend. It's a million things. So I get that, and they didn't know that. It's hard when you don't know the school schedule and you're planning events for school-age kids.
And we did know the schedule. We were hoping to pull those people in that have the younger kids, that weren't going on vacation or weren't utilizing that 5-day weekend. That's what we were hoping to gain.
But they didn't come in.
But it
didn't
come
out. They were using the kids to do Spanish story time. I mean, Jeanette is pulling wherever she can to get people to help. And you've got the women's club, they come to do story time. But when Jeanette got promoted, then I asked that she delegate it down to Jessica, and we increased Jessica's hours, which was working, which was helping. It wasn't still at the capacity we should be for a very active children's department. And so now we've got the situation where things are going back to Jeanette.
How many hours a week did we lose with Jessica?
Jessica, we were providing Jessica with up to 36 hours.
You can't go over 2 weeks. Because IMRF,
right.
You can't go over.
Right. No, she's down to
2 days a week, and I begged her to stay on Saturdays for now. Because Karina, one of our other children's department people,
Saturdays.
She is going to be taking a graduate class on Saturdays. So the month of January and February, she's going to be out. So I am utilizing Jessica and Robin, and begging Brittany and Katrina to come in, and whatever days they can't, I will be here. So we are definitely providing for the children's department. It's just a situation right now where it was unexpected, and we didn't anticipate Karina taking off. I mean, she works two Saturdays a month, plus a couple of Sundays.
You don't have the staff that you need for an active children's department.
Okay, that's going to be another discussion.
Well, I mean, it's the hours. How many hours total did she no longer work? She was working 36, and now she's working 12, 10?
She's working, what is it? So she's working 2 nights a week. So
that's 6 hours.
6 hours plus 2 Saturdays I have asked her to stay on.
Saturday's another 6, so 12. She's gone from 18 to 12.
From 18 to 12 a week.
A week.
So 6 hours a week.
36 to 24.
But within that time, she was doing programming for me.
Yeah. Right,
so
but we were just trying to figure out, like,
yeah.
how much actual time we're looking for.
And that takes away from Jeanette. So yeah. Jeanette can't do administrative things that she should be doing. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so...
That may need to be on the agenda for next month.
What's up?
A part-time, an additional part-timer, right?
Yeah.
We can't continue to run our department under staff. So that may need to go on our agenda for next month.
So Lisa, are you going to put together a proposal of what you want the position to look like as far as the blended role or...
You
so somebody cross-training a floater.
Well, it'd be probably two. I have somebody in mind for someone who can be serving reference already.
Okay.
And I asked Jeanette to keep a lookout for someone that might be interested in coming on board.
For Jillian.
So we're talking about two. I've already got somebody in mind ready to start for the floater position. But the children's. I think Dixie
knows
somebody that would be interested.
So are we adding bodies to be able to fill the hours?
That'd be fabulous.
Are we? Yeah, I'm confused. Do we have a specific number of staff members we hire, or?
So, first of all, I guess...
Let's go on this.
Let's focus on this first, and then we can get through this, and then we can... Then talk about me. So do we have a motion to approve the dates, the holiday dates?
Well, with our current staffing, we need to keep it as is, right?
Right.
Yep.
Motion to approve our current holidays off for the year 2019.
Second.
Okay, Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Danis?
Yes.
Okay. So, per capita grant 2019
required.
Okay. On your last page of the back sheet.
Can I just ask one question? Because I think it'll clarify where we're going. So are we looking to hire people to fill the hours that we currently have working in the library, or are we looking to increase the amount of hours we have people working in the library? That's because if we're looking for just people to fill the hours to maintain our normal staffing level, I don't know that we even need to talk about that. That's just a normal, you know, decision. Right. If we're looking at increasing the number of hours we have staff working in the library, that's something we should probably put on the agenda for next month.
People or hours?
Yeah.
Before Jessica decreased her hours, were we able to do programming in the children's department? Was like able to do what they needed to do? It always seemed like it.
That was because we had.
We have people that fill in the hours to work the desks when they're here from 4 to 7 or Saturday from 10 to 4, but they're not, and Sundays, but not, well, Sundays are people on rotation, so people that are rotating through. But the people, I'm looking at someone that can come in that can do some of the things that Jessica was, program, story time, not just to be a body
at the
sitting
desk,
at
right.
a desk.
Got it.
Not increasing staffing hours, just somebody helping us fill the hours that we.
Yeah. You're right. Needing to replace Jessica.
Right.
Jessica is becoming a part-timer. You need to replace. I mean, a much smaller part-timer.
Right.
You need to replace Jessica, who's that second children's person under Jeanette, who can do programming under Jeanette, under Jeanette's direction. But are we able to give them the hours we were giving Jessica if Jessica's still working here?
Certainly, we need to talk about this. But I'm just saying, if we're to continue at the level that we're doing in children's, we need to increase the hours and possibly bring in another person.
My point is, if we're staffing 200 hours a week, it really doesn't matter how many people we have hired to fill those roles. It's the same cost to the library.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we're not looking at increasing our actual hours we have bodies in the library, go ahead and hire somebody to fill in whatever hours we need to make us whole from a scheduling.
It's not going to go above what we are.
It doesn't increase our cost to make sure we have enough people to fill all the desks. Right?
Well, it's whether you've got somebody just staffing the desk or somebody that can contribute and be doing
the
program.
So how many people do we have just staffing the desk now? One person that just does staffing the desk, no programs.
Right.
Okay. And how many hours does that person do?
It depends. Brittany is pulling in. Brittany does Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So she's at 36 for 2 weeks.
Is it that does, she not have the capability to do the program?
Well, she's at the desk. She works.
So she's the desk person.
Brittany works 10 to 4 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Katrina works 10 to 4 Thursday and Friday.
So I get it.
And Robin
Brittany
works afternoon after
and
school.
So Brittany was your desk person and Jessica was your program. That's the way it was.
At certain points, yes.
Right.
So Jessica was coming in to do Lego Duplo, which was during the week.
Right.
Jessica also did Lego Club and Ice Cream Club on Saturday. That was her
role.
Yes.
So now then we need to find someone that can do that. And then is she going to be going back to just doing desks?
But she also worked afternoon desk, or no? Jessica did?
In the evening, yes.
Right. So it's somebody who works in the evenings who could also come in during the day. Robin can't. She's in school during the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. And at this point, Jessica wants to maintain her hours here. Yes. She does want to maintain her hours here. She's willing at this point to help us out through December, January, and February. As she takes on this full-time position, she's going to weigh her options and see what is best for her and her family.
Yeah, but then we have still have to think about our library and the needs.
Well, and that's fine. Lego Duplo isn't a big deal. I'm already here.
Okay.
So I will go ahead and pick that up. Lego and Ice Cream Book Club, if I have to do it, I'll do it.
Okay.
So my point, though, is if we know we're down staffing and we know we have hours we're having a tough time to fill, what's the concern with bringing somebody in?
Well, I don't think it's cost-effective for you to be doing
Right.
Is that someone that we bring in on a lower level could be trained to do?
I'm just going back to what I said before. If we're filling hours, shouldn't we just post and hire somebody to be able to do the roles that we currently have a shortage on hours of?
But it doesn't sound like she wants to. It sounds like she's still doing what she did. She just can't do all the programs.
Right.
And so
as of right now, Jessica's willing to continue on.
Okay.
The only one that she is having an issue with is Leo Duplo, which is I have picked up. And then we also have some other staffing opportunities that have come aboard that we'll look at.
Like if we can't like say, hey, on this Martin Luther King Day, we want to have like an event, and we don't have the staffing for that, even if it's just one event that needs maybe one person, that seems to me like we're cutting real thin.
We are cutting it.
Right.
If there wasn't for the friends for the ice cream social, we would have had the staff
to do
that.
Yeah.
Right. It seems like to be able to, do some programming that you want to do and that you'd be excited about, you need to have people.
We figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to. So one way or another, we ask for volunteers.
Okay.
My tag group is absolutely fabulous when it comes to volunteering and assisting me with whatever programming we have coming up. So when we want to do it, we get it done. Is really where we're at.
Do you want to do it on Martin Luther King Day? Sorry, it all comes back to that for me.
They don't want to do it on that day.
Discussions to work through the personnel committee. The other thing is that we're paying $9 an hour, and they're paying $15 everywhere else. I mean, we're lucky that we've gotten a couple of really good people for $9 an hour and children. But I don't think it's fair to them either. I mean, we're expecting so much.
We've gone up from where we were.
Yeah.
Remember that? We've gone up from where we were.
It might be an option to try to create some internships.
I was going to say this,
or
put this high school or something, or college students. I think we should cut it and take it to the personnel committee.
We have some amazing high school volunteers that are very loyal and very responsible that we probably can utilize in another way.
Because the other thing is like setting up a per diem pool too of two or three really good solid people that you can call on either to fill shifts or.
Well, the other thing is to set up a internship with College DuPage LPA program and the library school.
I would say that you could even go. It's important, both the Yorkville High School has students who are released hours early for real-time work experience. They're having a business breakfast, I think, in a week or two. And so I don't know if you want to be a part of that. There would be kids. We have future educators at the high school. They would literally be walking across the street and would love to do that as an opportunity. Not just IVIC, but there are kids who get out like that senior block, that last hour or so, they're off. They don't have classes so that they can have real-world work experiences. And I know that I feel like Yorkville Christian does that too. That's now off of 126. That their high school is also work in the community. I saw pictures of students who like were interns at the nearest nursing home because that's what they want to go into. So between the high schools in Yorkville, we could probably find regulars. They'd be scheduled for the semester at least, or the school year.
What's
and then Jeanette could plan according to knowing that they'd be available.
That's work release or something.
I just know that there's lots of local businesses that take our students, because I had a student when she was a senior, she's like, oh, I have to go to work that day, but it wasn't for pay, and she took it very seriously. She dressed, they told them all about different work, and she was working in a local company, whatever, close to the field she wanted to go into. I'll look it up and see what it's called. But
and that's truly how our volunteers are.
Yeah.
Our high school volunteers that come across the street, they know that they need to be on time, responsible, dressed appropriately.
Yeah.
And those are the people that we have coming in to do our shelving and our cleaning and reading our shelves and that type of thing. So if we could get them credit
the
hours,
ones that are more oriented towards
fabulous
education or whatever might be good for story times or stuff like that.
Right.
Awesome.
I'll look that up.
Okay.
So back to per capita.
One of the requirements for the per capita grant, which I'll be working on, it's due January 15, 2019. The board needs to look at these requirements. They're on the back page for 2019. So I've printed out the sheets for you. One is standards for Illinois Public Libraries, and the other is the trustee fact files. So if you could review this before the December meeting, and we'll have a brief discussion so that we can say we can go to the requirements.
Oh, you're going to love this. Career connection, business owner breakfast. It's during work hours. And they're going to serve you breakfast. 8 to 9 a.m. on December 10th.
December 10th?
Mm-hmm. They tell you about, you know, and the kids get to sign up for courses or internships for the semester. So it was what I was talking about. It would be really good. I'll screenshot it. It'll work. I'll email it to you.
Jason, I don't think you got a copy of that for the last thing.
Okay. So,
talking about
wireless.
Yeah. Y'all, if you don't know, we do apply for E-rate, which is funny money that you pay on your phone bill every month. It gets put into a pool. And we get 50, I believe, based on the Yorkville School District, we get a 50% reimbursement for our internet service. And we also get 50% reimbursement on equipment that we put in, wireless servers, switches, wiring, that kind of thing. And I've been talking to Lloyd, our tech consultant. The wireless in the building is very inadequate. It's old. It's only 11 megabit wireless, so it's very slow because it was put in 10 years ago.
Everything is 10 years.
Yeah. He's going to put together a proposal to send to our E-rate consultant that we pay. And I was using... I've used these devices before. They're very good. They're easy to manage, although Lloyd doesn't think so, but I do. I've got them at three different schools, and they do very well. They're easy to set up one of the things we need to do is set up a private library network on the same subnet so that they can do all the same things, print to the right same printers and whatnot, and a public network like we have now that's secure. Right now, the public, I know a couple of the staff members who use laptops, the only wireless we have is on the public network, which is separate from the library network, so they can't do any printing, because we have no printers on the public Wi-Fi. So as part of this, I know there's other devices out there from Meraki and Aerohive and Aruba, but it would push the entire project way over budget for what we have. One of the things we have to do is add more wiring. We have to add some wiring in this mm-hmm. building, and we have to add a few more drops in the main library to add some more access points. I think we have 5 in there right now. I think there's 3 on the main level and 2 upstairs. We were thinking maybe having a total of, I think 10 would be pushing it, but about 10. So, and that's why, you know, plus the fact that all these are inexpensive, 10 of these access points would be $900, and we get half of that back. And the wiring is going to be the biggest thing.
Do you know who our switches support pre-landing?
Yep. We haven't done it, but these things will do it. It's very simple, and they restrict access to the main network. Because I've got 2 of these at home.
Yeah, but your switch has to do it too to be able.
No, it's all handled through the access points.
But this has to go back to a switch.
Right.
So what does that switch speed?
Gigabit.
Is it gigabit?
Yeah, we've already replaced them.
Okay. Would we be operating at 2.4 gig or 5 gig?
Yes.
Both.
Yeah, I was like, that didn't sound like an answer.
There are still a lot of devices out there that don't understand 5 gig. Slowly but surely, those are getting replaced. There's people with laptops that don't understand. They only work at 2.4. And they don't work it with the... they'll work at ABGN with the protocols, and they don't work with the AC. Which the AC, and I think there's a new one out after that.
Well, this says it gives 24 volt passive through power over Ethernet?
Yes.
So does our server allow for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the switches we have that these would be plugged into allow for that.
Allow for that voltage.
Yes. Don't worry about that. Okay. I got printed by accident.
Oh.
It was supposed to just go to our E-Rate consultant.
What?
So we don't have to really do anything about this. I wanted to bring it to your attention. That's what I was going to have them spec out in the E-rate application, and along with, you know, we'll have to bring some people in here to give us give the E-rate guy an estimate on what it's going to take to add more drops where we need them, and if it goes beyond what we can afford, because we got to actually pay the bill first, and then we get reimbursed. But we don't do anything until the money's been approved. And if it's beyond our budget, even at the 50%, we just don't do it. So, but we really need to upgrade the wireless. We do.
If you're adding those extra hotspots,
yeah,
we have the extra ports.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we do.
So now we're just waiting to see.
Now we just, yeah, we just gotta, I forget when the application goes in for this, but then we just have to wait for ISBE to, ISBE is it? I think it's ISBE.
Okay.
To approve the funding for it.
Is Lake going to work up a proposal of what all?
He's going to tell the E-rate consultant what he needs to put on the application.
Okay. But for us to review as far as the cost for running all the data lines and the equipment and the labor. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be the expensive part.
Are we going to review that before it goes to the E-rate provider?
No. We really won't know until after it goes to the E-rate consultant and he puts it out. Because then he puts it out to bid.
So if it is rejected by the E-rate,
then we just let it die.
But I mean, is there anything that keeps us from trying again after that?
No. We can do it, you know, 2020, we can do it for that year, or if we can find the money in our own budget, we can do it ourselves. And, you know, depending on how much the wiring, I would be surprised if it was more than $5,000, but I would not be surprised if it was over $5,000 for the wiring.
Shouldn't be.
No. Because we're not, you know, it's all conduit between the floors and everything is dropped, so we should be okay.
So with the new drops, you have to put a conduit in?
No. No.
Okay. So we wait for the consultant.
So we wait for the things to come in. It'll probably be sometime next summer.
Dang.
That long?
That long.
Oh, gosh.
No,
so today, I know it's a faster in a bit. Next summer is far.
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully we'll hear back soon on that.
We'll hear back.
Okay. I don't see a reason to go into executive session.
Nope.
Unless anybody else has a reason.
Yep.
All right. Then,
so moved.